I'm now delighted to be joined for this special interview with the UKDA CEO, Mr. Colin Savage. How are you, Colin?
Not too bad, Andrew. I hope you're well.
Last time we spoke, towards the end of June, the whole journey was just beginning, and now 3 months later, it's all resolved, and the UKDA have got full control of the county game. How are you feeling?
It's a tough one. It's been a very difficult 3 or 4 months. It was a lot of hard work. You know, we are all volunteers, so to sort of, you know, do it on top of your own full-time work has been difficult. I think probably one of the words that we use a lot is relief. You know, we have obviously gained full control, and we have managed to avoid the split. You know, I think that was our biggest fear, that we would, you know, there'd be a split in the system. You know, thankfully it didn't happen, and you know, now we're obviously filled with pride with our achievements. You know, we've a lot of optimism and excitement moving forward for the future.
And when Derbyshire were the first county to confirm with you on the 25th of June, I imagine there was a big sense of relief then as well.
Certainly, you know, and like, I'll never be forgotten that they were the first team, you know, to join us. But I think we had the belief in the proposal, the belief in the team we had around ourselves, you know, that, you know, we were capable of delivering on everything that we have promised, and you know, it's now just looking forward and, you know, making sure that everything's in place to deliver that.
And was there a tipping point for you where you realised as a team that it was heading in a very good direction for your team?
I think if you go back to like the third or fourth county, you know, that was announced was Lancashire. I knew when they seen something about us and believed in us, you know, a county that size and, you know, one of your main counties in the system, I knew then that we had a real chance. And kind of, I feel that was what gained us the momentum early on. But there was other pivotal things along the way, you know. We were, don't get me wrong, you know, we were received very well. But there was several, I'm not going to say against us, but, you know, they were very wary of change.
How was the debate? Because it played out very, you know, visibly on social media, and sometimes it got a little bit nasty.
I don't think that was from any of ourselves, though, Andrew. You know, what you had to realise too, and I think that's what we, you know, got applauded for so much, our openness on social media. You know, we didn't shy away from difficult questions. We were there to be shot at and criticised. Whatever we responded, don't get me wrong, sometimes you really did have to bite your tongue. You know, there was a few kept pushing and pushing and pushing, but that's where I always say intelligence kicks in. You know, you see the bigger picture, you realise it goes with the territory, and you try and give people, you know, an informative answer as possible. The best way to get by criticism is honesty.
And I saw that when county started moving across, the UKDA started sharing player testimonies on Facebook and Twitter. What were people saying to you guys when they came across, the reasons they'd voted for the UKDA?
You know, it's difficult to answer that with tonight, and, you know, without not going into the past. I just feel with all the negativity that had surrounded the BDO, I have to say, not so much the BICC, but just with everything, obviously, if you're under the one umbrella, everything's tarred with the one brush. Just, you know, the negativity, maybe a lack of answers, you know, transparency from the top brass. I just honestly, I think it was, there's so much negativity around it. I think that's what pushed quite a few towards us early doors. But the whole point of sharing those sort of things on social media, it's our system, and those people belong to that system. You know, as much as you have fantastic players in the system, like the Jim Williams, the Fallon Sherrocks, Murray O'Briens, you know, Scott Mitchells, Gary Staffords, etc. You know, you have to promote everybody. And, you know, giving them people, you know, the chance to be recognised, you know, some of them people, like for example, Andrea Hunt from Cheshire, you know, she played so many county matches. you know, over the years, you know, it's highlighting people like that who have been involved in the system for so long, but even they felt the time was right for change. Now it's, see, we have so much positivity about ourselves, and we know what we want to, you know, we know what we want to do. The players can see what we want to do, and you know, they're willing to invest and buy into that, which, you know, it makes our job a lot easier.
You obviously won unanimously in the end, but will you consider working with Des Jacklin, some of the others involved with the BDO, or the Tri-Nations team moving forward?
Well, obviously, any of the BDO directors that are in the system involved in terms of the, you know, an executive place within their counties, by all means, you know, as I say, we have a blank canvas, it's a fresh start. And, you know, you can't penalise anybody for their efforts or failures in the past, you know. And look, it's the same as any business in life, you know. Some people fail, some people succeed, some people it takes them 10 goes to succeed. You know, I certainly don't have any personal issues with anybody. I've said for a long time, my door's open to everybody for conversation.
There were a number of sort of new counties that join your system, so presumably you're going to have to create a couple more, maybe one more division to accommodate them.
There won't be any more divisions created. It will remain as previous with the 5 divisions. We are finalising plans at the minute on what way the added numbers will join the structure. One idea ourselves is an expanded Premier Division, and that would be, you would still have the 9 home and away fixtures as per normal, and we are looking to introduce sort of like a magic weekend that they do in Rugby League, mm-hmm. where all those 12 teams would come to one venue, one large venue, and play in a multi-board format across the weekend, so they'll play 2 games on that weekend. I say at the moment there's negotiations happening with certain venues to host it, so it will depend on the outcome of a few discussions, but I say it's a nice problem to have, but we're just trying to finalise everything at the moment.
Am I right to think that the sort of 9 counties who initially looked like they were going to stay with the BDO will be in the same divisions they were in before?
Yeah, as I say, you know, this is the thing, you know, regardless of where they were going to stay or weren't going to stay, or maybe they were just waiting to see for definite, certainly they came to us in the end, you know, inside our deadline, you know, with open arms from ourselves. If they had missed that deadline, possibly there might have been penalties, you know, but I will reiterate that they joined us, you know, within our deadline. So it's just fantastic for us to have everybody in the system. You know, I certainly didn't want any sort of civil war happening over the next couple of years where we had so many teams, somebody else had so many teams. I don't think that would have been too constructive for the game going forward.
One group who are sort of out on their own is Scotland. I know they're going to be running their own system. Will you be looking to bring the Scottish system within the UKDA framework?
It's certainly something we're looking at, but you have to understand one thing. You know, Scotland, in all essence, has always run itself. It might have been under the BDO name, and they might have paid the money to the BDO, but, you know, really and truly, they have been, you know, separate for quite a long time. Does that mean that we can't speak and maybe look at a possible affiliation in the future? Definitely not. We're at the stage now where there's so many different organisations willing to speak to each other to see is there a way forward. I think everybody's in a positive place at the moment regarding, you know, future talks.
The coronavirus pandemic has obviously short-circuited a lot of your plans, and at the moment it seems to be going in the wrong direction. But what at the moment are you looking at for a potential season start date?
I have about 20 sheets of paper in front of me here with different options. No, unfortunately, none of us know. We are in the process of finalising our calendar, and our players director, Tony Martin, has been working on it especially hard. What we don't want to do is obviously whether it be, say, for example, a February start or not to next September, what we certainly want to be doing is clashing with other events. I know there's only so many weekends in the year, so you might collide with a pro tour. We will, at all costs, try to avoid challenge tour. Obviously, gold and silver WDF events that we know players from our system support heavily. So it's again, and this is why you need to speak to other people. Yeah, but as I say, we're finalising our calendar at the moment. And at the moment, it's in the lap of the gods. When you see what the PDC have had to do to ensure their players can play, and you know, and they're the ones who are the professionals with, you know, let's face it, millions of pounds at their disposal, and they're not finding it very easy. I would love to say we'll go for a March start or a February start, but at this moment of time, until things become clear, we certainly won't be pushing any of our members at risk. So it could be a slow process in terms of, you know, knowing our final dates for everything.
You know, the situation we're in gives you an opportunity to look at maybe changing the dates for the season, because usually it was, you know, September to May, whereas now you might be able to look at a sort of a January-December to line up with the WDF dates as well.
Yeah, we have looked at that, for obviously the WDF ranking system now will be from January to December. The likes of England rankings are from January to December. And I know Steve's plans with Mad Darts is kind of that January to December. So it is, you know, it would be nice if we all knew that we could definitely start January, February. That could be a real option. How realistic is that at this moment in time? You would have to say very doubtful, unless there's obviously a vaccine or a, you know, definitely a change in the current climate with the coronavirus. We have a blank canvas at the moment, and you know, it's kind of out of our hands when we can start, you know. So, but we will have everything in place, certain dates for potential starts, and then everything hopefully can fall into place from there.
You mentioned Mad Darts there. One of the headlines, you know, from the start of this month was the announcement of a partnership of sorts between the UKDA and Steve Brown's brainchild Mad. Who actually started the conversation there?
I actually messaged Steve to find out a little more information about a few things. So that was the initial contact. And say Steve himself started to speak a few times and struck up a very good relationship early doors. He's been a great help to me at times where, not going to say felt under pressure, but he was very reassuring about what we were doing and what we were trying to achieve. Obviously, Steve, you know, as well as being a professional dart thrower, you know, the work he's done with the JDC, and that's why I know Mad will work, because, you know, he's just, the guy knows what he's doing and, you know, deserves a lot of credit for what he is, you know, doing for the youngsters and darts. Now I say moving into the amateur game along, you know, with Mad, I think it'll actually, if the two of us realised there was a synergy that could work between us, and that, you know, there was a great chance to grow the amateur game in the United Kingdom, you know, even more, you know, by sort of working together. And as I say, it's been an absolute pleasure dealing with Steve.
So what does the partnership between the UKDA and Mad actually entail?
I can't go into too many details about it because there's a few things just need signed off. But I can say, Steve, you know, we spoke about it quite a bit. So we're bringing it into Super League throughout the system. Steve has agreed very kindly to waiver the actual team fees for Super League teams. So that would save, you know, a Super League team £25. This has been agreed for 1 year. Obviously, there'll be a ranking system for all Mad events, etc. And we're hopefully looking at through Super League UKDA events that there will be places in some of these premium events with Mad. But I say, you know, Steve's a very reasonable guy, very intelligent, and all conversations and discussions with him have been very positive.
Well, I certainly think more collaboration, you know, on the amateur side of the sport is important to help push it forward. When we spoke last time, you mentioned that you were looking at sponsorship for all the leagues in the county system, and I know you've managed to get two league sponsors already. Has there been any further progress on that front?
Yes, there has been. Not announced yet, though. We are sort of in talks with a few more for the leagues at the moment. So I would say within the next 3 to 4 weeks, all the divisions should be tied up. Going on from that, then, is obviously your bigger talks. At the moment, we are in talks with 4 different major darts companies. Obviously, that's regarding our main competitions and board supplies, etc. So it's an exciting time at the minute. There's definitely a lot of support for us and a lot of belief in us. This is being reflected by people wanting to get involved financially with us. So there'll be something to announce on that. I'll be in touch.
I was just going to say, do I take it from that then that, you know, all the counties and the Super Leagues would be using one set board?
That will be our plan. I suppose one thing that never really existed before was any board deal was more at just county or what we call now National League level. Mm. And none of the contracts actually, you know, did take it down to the next level of Super League.
Mm.
You know, so when you're offering that to companies, it certainly, you know, it helps negotiations. It's the same as the PDC. PDC is backed by Unicorn, and every PDC event, you play on a Unicorn board. It might be, you know, there might be a bit of resistance to it, but, you know, you have to do what's best for your company, and this company is a non-profit company, they're for all those teams. So if you're getting them the best deal as possible by doing this, you have to do it.
Can you talk me through some of the other member benefits that you've brought in over the last couple of months?
Well, first of all, the membership is £10. That gets you entry into all the events, you know, the singles, the pairs, the team events. You know, so come the end of the season, the county's not trying to gather up £720 as before. You go on from that, obviously, Morgan had sort of a few deals for just gym membership. And obviously, we felt this was important for, you know, with the current pandemic we're in, we're looking at people's, you know, physical well-being, their mental well-being, you know, trying to get them healthier. And moving on from that then, we signed a deal with Saw Clothing, and, you know, the rates that he has gave us for county jerseys, Super League tops and that, fantastic. You know, Scott's he's been a pleasure to deal with. There'll also be some of that money used to go to, I think approximately it's £1 something that goes from each shirt sale to charity that we have decided to do. So, you know, there's other ones that are like double trouble drinks, and they have offered 10% off for their members or for the members of ourselves. You know, there is quite a few benefits, and we are working on more, you know. People's getting a lot for their £10, put it like that.
Hmm. Do you feel as a team that the way everybody responded to you guys and put their faith in you, that there is a pressure on you to deliver?
I think we, you know, I will say this, I think from day one we've put ourselves under pressure. You know, say we all believed in the proposal. You know, we believe in the team around us. You know, when I look around and see the work that, you know, our chairman, Johnny Stefano, is doing, our commercial director, Claire Stamper, you know, Tony Martin's of this world, Davey Hansen's, you know, Kat, who's our finance director, you know, they all contribute so much, as well as the rest of this management team. Pressure is, it wouldn't be the word I would use, you know. It's excitement, it's optimism. You know, probably the pressure thing we're under is to get started.
Hmm.
You know, we just want to get started and, you know, get everybody back playing as soon as we can and deliver. You know, let's create a positive system that people actually want to play in. You know, that they don't feel it's a chore, that they can look at it and say, you know, I'm going to play Super League here because I want to represent my county. And if I do well there, then I want to go to a WDF event. I want to go and try the challenge tour. You know, you know, the county system has always been the conveyor belt. You know, you don't see these guys on TV in the UK or the WDF, you know, they've all come through this system, you know, and it's getting that right now, you know, for, you know, we can look at what we can do over the next year or two, but we need to be there for the next 40 years, bringing through the next generation and the next generation. You know, that's our goal. You know, that has to be at the forefront of everybody's mind, is, you know, just, you know, our legacy has to be we've created an even better system than what existed before. And I think we have a fantastic opportunity to do this.
You know, with the idea you mentioned earlier of like a Magic Weekend style thing and the player testimonies you've shared as well, have you got any other plans, or have the UKDA got any other plans to sort of spotlight the players in your system and give them the, you know, the credit they deserve?
Absolutely, Andrew. You know, this is why, you know, you use Facebook, Twitter, your website to your advantage. Highlight players we have in our system. Highlight teams. You know, where do you see write-ups about county matches unless it's on a county's own website? You know, it needs to be highlighted at a higher level and to a wider audience, you know. So it's things like that. And obviously you have people like yourself, the guys at Darts Planet magazine and other media outlets. These guys are willing to help, you know, because you love the sport of darts. So it's getting it out there, as I say. It's fantastic seeing, you know, the professionals plastered over everywhere. You know, what we need to do is get more exposure for a lot of the amateurs in the system as well.
And just a couple of last bits from me. I saw last week that you'd confirmed that Oliver Croft would be the honorary president of the UKDA. Can you talk me through kind of where the idea came from and why that was an important thing to the team?
I've known about it for quite a while. Obviously, our chairman, Johnny, and Oliver are quite good friends. And Oliver's been a fantastic help to Johnny and myself throughout it. You know, he's been there before. You know, you know the name Croft, and it's just associated with darts. So while he's not directly involved, he's a great source to go and, you know, ask questions of, run ideas by. There's maybe things we haven't thought about that he's chipped in. He said, you need to think about this, you need to think about that. But again, you know, it's just a wealth of knowledge that we can tap into. Certainly in times of conflict or anything, he would be a good, he'd be a good person to mediate anything. It's just another very positive, you know, move by ourselves to reward somebody for the history that his family has brought to the game, and at the same time to tap into all that knowledge that he has.
Yeah, I mean, we've touched on this a few times already, but ultimately, what is the vision for you and the rest of the team for the UKDA and the future of county darts?
It's stripping everything back to basics, first of all. It's only going to be a better system if everybody's on the same page going forward. You know, we need to get a bit of positivity, stabilise what we're at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get people back playing, obviously, after this, you know, sad time in our history. You know, there will be, what's the word for it? You know, a lot of people will be itching to get back playing very shortly, if not now. You know, so you have to capitalise on that. Certainly for ourselves in terms of a business, we have to grow the sport. You know, we have to create more pathways for our amateur players into the top regions of the game. This is why, like, the affiliation with MAD, you know, is an avenue for that. I say, I've had a few talks with the Nations, you know, obviously, you know, great guys like Tommy Thompson, John Williams of Wales, you know, the guys in Scotland. They're providing opportunities for players to, for international selection, representing your country. They put on fantastic events throughout the year. I've seen the other day the England events have gold status in the WDF, you know. You're going to have people able to qualify for MAD events, or, you know, there's going to be so many opportunities for amateur players, you know, over the next 2, 3, 4 years. It should be a good time for everybody. One other thing we will need to look at, and you know, I've spoke to Steve, and we've took a bit of chat, you know, we've been chatting about this. Obviously, the youth, you know, the youth system, we need to try and get involved in a bit more. Obviously, there's a couple of existing youth boards who have really always been sort of independent. So we are going to try and form relationships and work closely with them. Steve, at the moment, has a few plans that he thinks could benefit all. And we'll be sort of sorting through them over the next couple of weeks. We have to look at certain things like, you know, can we get more ladies playing the game at a higher level? You know, can we get them through the county system and get them up onto that tour? There's a lot to do, but and it will take time, some of all this, but, you know, say it's an exciting challenge ahead.
And if people want to know more about the UKDA and your plans and what you're doing, or they have any questions, where should they go?
Well, see, obviously, I think now we have about 6,000 members on our Facebook page, so if any questions are posted on there, we endeavour to answer them as quickly as we can. You know, in the proposal, our email addresses for all the directors and management team are on there, so, you know, we're available anytime through email. You know, we've obviously our website, we have our Twitter feed, and I say again the Facebook pages. So, you know, there won't be any limitation to getting our information out there. And I say, when used in the right way, social media is a fantastic tool.
Definitely, and thank you very much for your time this evening, Colin. It's great to catch up, and I think the county game is in very safe hands with the UKDA.
Thank you very much. As I say, you know, I've praised you before for the support that you've shown us from the start, you know, highlighting us on Twitter, your interviews, you know, the Bit and Darts Planet magazine before was fantastic. And, you know, just it's honestly from us all, thank you very much.